Let's turn our Bibles today to John chapter 13. And we'll read from John chapter 13, verses 21 to 26. John chapter 13. And the word of God says, "When Jesus had said this, he became troubled in spirit and testified and said, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, that one of you will betray me.' The disciples began looking at one another, at a loss to know of which one he was speaking. There he was reclining on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. So Simon Peter gestured to him and said to him, 'Tell us who it is of whom he is speaking.' He, leaning back thus on Jesus' bosom, said to him, 'Lord, who is it?' Jesus then answered, 'That is the one for whom I shall dip the morsel and give it to him.' So when he had dipped the morsel, he took and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot." All right, let's pray this morning. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this morning, God. We thank you for your word. And as we go into your word, Father, I pray for truth to be revealed to us today, and that you would use me, Father, to speak your truth as accurately as you give it to me, Father. And so thank you, Father. We just pray for your presence here this morning with us. And so all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So recently, we've actually had a reboot of Reboot, where we've had to go back and remind ourselves again of the fact that we are rebooting. And you know, this whole idea of reboot, you know, it stemmed from this beginning idea of going back to this intimacy with God, you know, going back to this true worship of God, where it's the image of the woman, obviously, that we know, who washes Jesus' feet, and the intimacy and the worship that is inherent in that action. And this morning we look at this passage from John 13, and for me, actually, this is another really a glimpse of what intimacy with Jesus really looks like. So in this particular passage, what we see is happening is this is the events that following immediately after the washing of the disciples' feet at the Last Supper. And Jesus is troubled in spirit. It begins with this idea that he is troubled in spirit because he knows the things that are coming. He knows that he is to be betrayed. He knows that he is to be given over to be crucified. And it begins by saying he is troubled in spirit and testifies, "Truly, truly, I say to you that one of you here will betray me." And I try to imagine for myself what that would be like in an intimate gathering where Jesus has just washed, done this ultimate act not only of service to his disciples, but also, I think, a revealing of his heart, you know, his heart of love for his disciples by washing their feet. He has given over of his bread and his cup. And in the midst of this intimate moment between him and his followers, he's troubled because he knows that actually, no matter how close they feel and how intimate the environment feels, one of them is going to betray me. And so he testifies. I almost feel like it's almost a blurting out, that this is weighing so heavily on his heart, and it almost seems like with reluctance that he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you is going to betray me." You know, and so often, you know, when I think about intimacy with Jesus, you know, we know through the word so well that Jesus loves us. He has such a heart of love for us. But sometimes when I read passages in the Bible, actually the feeling, the image I get of Christ is a little bit distant, just in terms of just the reading that we have. You know, because the way that Christ often replies to his disciples, if we had done the same thing in our own lives, I think we would think, oh, that guy is a little bit scary. You know, for example, oftentimes, in the episode with him and Peter, Jesus reveals, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to go up to Jerusalem to be given over. And Peter starts rebuking him and he says, get behind me, Satan. You know, I've never said that to anybody before. Get behind me, Satan. You know, I say I want to play this song in worship, and one of my worship team members says, oh, I don't think that's the right song. And I say, get behind me, Satan. We're going to sing Cornerstone today, right? If I said something like that, automatically there'd be a distance in relationship. And often, you know, I think the way that Jesus is presented in the Bible is sometimes because we see the teacher aspect of him, the words that were so important to us, the lessons that he had for us, that sometimes we lose a little bit of the humanness of what Jesus was like in person to be with him. But I think I love passages like this one where we see glimpses. It says that one of the disciples whom Jesus loved, and John is talking about himself here, he was reclining on Jesus' bosom. He's reclining on Jesus' bosom. So his head was against Jesus' chest. And I see an image of that. And I'll be honest, the first thing that comes into my mind when I try to imagine that is, I imagine going up one day to the third floor and us having, you know, on every Tuesday, actually, our staff, we have our staff meeting. And so we meet in the staff boardroom upstairs. And I imagine myself going to that staff room and I see Pastor Sam there. And Pastor Sam starts talking about what's going to happen that week. And I just nestle my head against his chest. And I try to imagine myself doing that. I have a little bit of trouble imagining myself. Maybe for some of you here, you don't. But I have a little bit of trouble imagining myself doing that. But that's exactly what John is doing here with Jesus. You know, that's the image of John right now. His head is nestled against, his head is resting against Jesus' bosom. And it's such a picture of intimacy that we see. And, you know, in other passages, we see Jesus, when the disciples try to keep the children away from him, it says that Jesus says, no, let them come. And it says that he took them all. He held them and he blessed them and he allowed them to come to him. And we see that Jesus, you know, actually in real life, I mean, what a loving personality he must have had in so many ways that we can see that there are these images of him that oftentimes the text can take away the fullness of whatever lovingness he must have had in person. But we see in these little glimpses, that he was the kind of person where not only would he be able to rebuke somebody, but also he was so loving that people felt free, children felt free and open, and they wanted to come to him. That this disciple that Jesus loved, John, he felt comfortable enough with Jesus where he was able to rest his head on Jesus' bosom. And we see these glimpses of this intimacy. And when I look at this, I think of this is what it means to be intimate with Christ. You know, and going deeper into what's happening here in this passage, Jesus reveals this truth. He says, truly I say to you, one of you will betray me. He says this statement, and then the disciples, they have no idea. They began looking at one another and asking, of who is Jesus talking about? In other of the Gospels, it says that they were grieved because he said such a thing. And it's quite a bombshell to have in the middle of this meeting, an intimate moment, to say, one of you is going to betray me. And they're now looking at one another. But like students in a class, nobody wants to be the one to ask the question, right? Right? Nobody wants to be the one to raise their hand, especially maybe also this is sort of an Asian context, so I can kind of relate. But nobody wants to be the one to say, excuse me, Jesus, which one are you talking about, right? And so what does Simon Peter do? Simon Peter, maybe he's learned from his lessons. He doesn't want to be told by Jesus to get behind me, Satan, anymore. So he gestures to him, you know, he elbows him and he says, hey, tell us who it is that he is speaking about. And so after this elbow, I just imagine John, you know, he just turns to Jesus and he asks a simple question. He says, Lord, who is it? Excuse me. He says, Lord, who is it? And in verse 26, it says, Jesus then answered. I like, actually, in older versions of the NASB, it actually says, Jesus therefore answered. What difference does that make? I just like the word therefore. But more than that, I think it's this idea that, you know, actually, when I look at this passage, in many ways, I think of the aha in my mind that I have is that this is really what, for me, is the prophetic. You know, this is the image of what it means for me to move in the prophetic. Because so oftentimes, you know, I've had people come up to me and they say, you know, I know that Jesus says he loves us, but I don't feel that love for me. You know, people come and they say, I don't know what that feels like. I don't know, is God really with me? You know, God says he's with me, but is he really with me? And sometimes, and at times people come to me and they say, pray for me. Please pray for me. Is he really with me? And there's a truth and they want to know more about that truth. And they ask, can you please pray for me? And you know, in those moments, you know, sometimes I feel like John right now. And there's one, and actually for many of us, you know, who have prayed in that way, you know, that sometimes we look at it in different ways. You know, often, sometimes, just truthfully, I will have just kind of been doing my own thing. It's almost like I've been watching TV or just reading my own things, and somebody asked me to pray for them, and suddenly I have to go to God and be like, okay, God, I have no more prophetic anything in my gas tank. God, would you fill me up right now? And so it's almost like I'm going to a station to fill it up, something that is empty because I have nothing to give. And I think that is one way of doing it, but I think that's. For me, that's the way I do it, but I have to repent because I know that is not the way that I think that Jesus really desires, that God really desires for us to come before him. You know, when somebody asks for a word or for prayer, you know, when I look at a passage like this, I think how much joy is there if we can, I almost want to say easier, is it? For Christ to give us that word, for us to receive that word, when we have this intimacy with God. It says Jesus therefore answered when John answered. And I think part of that is because, you know, so often we think of Jesus as far away or as teacher or almost not this intimate relationship that we have. But I think that we see that Jesus did have this intimate relationship with his disciples. And when his disciples turned to him, and especially this one on his bosom, he looked up and said, who is it? Jesus just answered. It was very simple. It was a very simple act of answering. And I think for us, you know, when I talked about the prophetic before, I think, you know, so often, this is the way that we need to approach it. You know, that we need to have this intimacy with Christ, that we are at his bosom, that we can almost hear his heartbeat. And when we have this relationship, this closeness with him, it's not really even about the word of knowledge that he's given. But when we have it, when we have this intimacy with him, it's almost when somebody comes for prayer and asking for a prophetic word or anything, you know, it's the same way that Peter goes, hey, what is Jesus talking about? Or, hey, can you please help me? Hey, what do you think Jesus thinks about this? And because we're in this place of intimacy with Christ, all we do, it's not even that we have to run all the way to Christ and ask him. We're already, if we're in this place of intimacy and relationship with Christ, we're already there at his heart. And all it is, it requires a little head turn. And we say, God, what can I give them? What do I have? And by what word do I have for them? What can I do? What can I say, God? And it's in these moments that for myself personally, and I think for many of us here, that we've experienced God's word. You know, and I think it's in these moments where, because God loves us as his children, because we have this intimacy with him, he freely gives his knowledge to us. He freely gives that word that we need, or this other person needs. And actually, in many ways, we can take away ourselves and our part in it, because all we really are our messengers of what God really wants to say to that person. And so I look at it and I look at the prophetic, but I also actually see the danger of the prophetic, or the danger of seeking after Christ or seeking after God merely for the sake of others. You know, this passage, it begins with this phrase that it says, Jesus was troubled in spirit. And so when Jesus says something, I don't think what Jesus desired in that moment was for more questions. You know, for example, if I If I go to somebody, let's say I go to Bonnie, and I say to Bonnie, I just lost my job at church. And then Bonnie, the first question she asks me is, so what did you have for lunch? Or she asks me, oh, then what happened? Who was the one who fired you? Or she asks me details about it. And obviously, she, within the rights of somebody, our first answer is, what happened? What is the question? We have all these questions about the statement that was made. But really, when I say something like that, when I make a statement, or I share a pain or a hurt or something that's troubling me, it's because I want comfort from a person. Or when I want a relation, that closeness with another person. It's not that I'm desiring for that other person to ask me for information. And yet we see here, the disciples, none of them stop to say, Jesus, are you okay? Maybe they did. Maybe the writer didn't include that in here. But it's interesting to me that it never says they ask all these information, and at the end, all Jesus ends up doing is none of the disciples come to him to comfort, but instead, he has to give information to them and say, the one that is going to betray me is the one that I give this dipped morsel to, and he does so. And so when I think about intimacy, and maybe for us today, that is the meditation that we can have, is so often we look to Christ, we look to God for information. We look to God for knowledge, we look to God for guidance, we look to him for direction, but so little do we look to him for relationship. And actually, I'm going to actually ask Eunice if you can come, and we'll have some, maybe we can spend some time this morning. You know, when Jesus speaks, when John asks the question to Jesus, Lord, who is it? What he is desiring is information. He wants to know a piece of information about something that Jesus said. But the reason that Jesus answers is because of relationship. The reason that Jesus answers is because of his heart for John and the intimacy that he and the closeness and that relationship that he had with John. And I think at the end of the day, when we look at Jesus, you know, in terms of when Jesus declared that one of you will betray me, it wasn't like a murder mystery where they wanted to find out who was the one who was going to commit the crime. But it's because Jesus wanted then as a response, this intimacy, this closeness with his disciples. And I think about it in the same way that, especially in light of all the civil unrest that we have now in Hong Kong, you know, so oftentimes we will ask of others, what do we do? What is our response? How should we act? What does Christ want us to do in this situation? And yes, obviously we can pray and we can ask God, what is our response? Or even in our own lives, even unrelated to that, God, what should I do? Or God, what is my next step? God, what do I need to do? And I think Jesus, he delights in answering these questions. He delights in helping his children. He delights in being with his children. But what he really truly delights in is that intimacy, this image of us resting on his bosom. This idea of that we are so close to him that all it requires for us to ask this question is to turn our head just a little bit. So maybe this morning we can just meditate a little bit on this idea of intimacy and ask ourselves this question. You know, am I at that place of resting on the bosom of Christ? And freely I admit to you, all of you here this morning, that, you know, there are times, yes, there are times when I do feel the beauty of the Lord, and I do see His face in the sunrise, and really I do, I experience these moments of intimacy with Him. And yet other times, an entire day can go by, and I forget about Him. I have not thought about Christ at all. And I'm reminded again by the Spirit, what is my relationship with Him, and who is the one who saved me? And so with repentance, I have to go back again and go back to this place of intimacy. And so, you know, today as we think about rebooting again our reboot, and we think again about this image of Christ's relationship with His disciple. And as we sing the song of worship together, maybe we can think about this idea of intimacy. And right now even, what is my relation to Christ? What is my positioning in relation to Christ? Am I at His chest, or am I looking from far away? And maybe we can take this time to really come a little bit closer to Him as we sing the song of worship together.
Cry, and my friend.
Continue to pray. Let's just spend some time with God right now. But yes, there are things that God has called us to. There are things that responsibilities as His children that He has placed on us. And that we seek Him for help, and we seek Him for knowledge, and we seek Him for strength. But that above all else, just as the song that we sang, that it would be His person, it would be that relationship with Him that would be our number one priority, that it would be our greatest desire. So why don't we spend some time with Him this morning? Just getting closer to the heart of God. Let's continue to pray for our community. Let's continue to pray for those who are suffering from cancer, who are going through chemotherapy, as well as those who are recovering from surgery. And let's really continue to lift up our brothers and sisters. Let's also continue to pray for those who are suffering from illnesses in our community, but also need that word of salvation. Let's just really continue to pray for both physical healing as well as that reparation, that repairing of that spiritual relationship, that spiritual bond with God. So let's continue to pray. Continue to pray for those who are in community who are suffering from other infirmities. Let's just really continue to pray for healing over each and every one of our brothers and sisters. also pray for those in our community who are looking for work. Let's just really pray for godly appointment for each and every one of them. Focus today. And why don't we pray right now for Hong Kong? Let's start off by praying for our city right now, especially in the midst of protests. Let's pray for just open routes of communication between both parties, and that they would just really be able to be just quick and swift reconciliation, and just really an answer to all that is happening right now. And also let's pray for, continue to pray for protection and peace in our city, especially against violence between citizens and police. And let's just really pray for God's peace to rest on our city. Also pray for China as a whole. Let's continue to lift up the churches and the workers there and all the different ministries that are in China right now. Let's really continue to pray and covering over each and every one of them. Also pray for our staff. Let's just continue to pray that God would continue to speak to us and use us as we go forward. Can you just please pray, especially over Pastor Sam, as he's away right now in the States, and let's just continue to pray protection over him and his family. Also, Tim is away in Korea as well, so let's pray for him. Please continue to lift up as well our worship sound and media team, and let's just continue to pray for a heart of worship over each and every one of the members of these teams as they continue to serve. Thank you. Let's also pray for our Arts Anonymous team, and let's continue to pray for greater creativity as they explore different avenues. Let's also pray for the work that they're doing on SPREAD as well, too, and just the way that it represents our church and getting the message out about who our church is. Let's pray for our house churches that are meeting today, and let's just really pray for each and every one of the leaders that are meeting here, and let's pray also for the communities that are meeting together as they discuss the sermon this week, and as they fellowship with one another. Let's continue to pray for really true fellowship and love to flourish in each and one of these house churches. Dear God, we thank you for this morning, God. We thank you for who you are. Lord, we want to just continue to lift up our city to you, Father, that there would be peace that would rest in this city today, for your protection over each and every one of us as we go to work, or as we go off and do whatever business that we have this day, God. And that as we move, and though that our bodies may move, Father, from this church, and we may go to different locations, Father, that no matter where we go, Father, in that position, God, that spiritually, God, that our position would always be close to your heart. Lord, that today that we would move out of intimacy with you, Lord, that we would continue to meditate upon you this day. And so, God, I pray for your presence, Lord, to rest with us throughout the rest of this day as we go from this place. So thank you, and all this we pray in your Son's most precious name. Amen. Thank you, and continue to spend some time with God this morning before you go off.